Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
All right, 24 hours. Well, less than that. My math's never been awesome. But signing day will be here, and you're a Nebraska football fan, so there's no off season. We'll have you covered. Thoughts on who's in, who's waiting, who is wondering. Welcome to Tuesday on Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, 80s action star Colton Stone. And you can tap the line, Shillingbridge Cork and Tap House, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Numbers to get in. Find us on Twitter at Hail Varsity at Schmidt underscore radio, or fire off an email, chris@hailvarsity.com. Busy show. We'll spend a lot of it on recruiting. We'll talk about the topic du jour. And we'll get into it with Mitch Sherman and Rick Pizzo. The early signing period. Yay or nay on it. Step back, take the red off for a second. Yay or nay on it. I'll tell you in a second where I'm at. Good stuff from HailVarsity.com and Greg Smith. Keep it locked on his Twitter handle and Hail Varsity for the latest recruiting news. And we'll have a blowout Fantastico show for you tomorrow. So that is what's locked in. A good one today. Mitch Sherman's 15 minutes away. Rick Pizzo is 1 hour from now. And let's get to it. So you'll have four-star Adrian Martinez. Adrian will be with us tomorrow. Okay. Is he going to get the keys to the offense? Time will tell with that, but who's coming with him? Who's on the way? I can't read that. There we go. Shall we jump into the pool with Nate this early? Is there a swan and a stack of hundreds around? Nate, welcome in. How are you?
Hundreds. I'm glad you're not shortchanging me, brother. What is going on?
I am just hunkered in for recruiting 2017.
I know. And before I let you do that, you have to let me digress. I am so psyched up about Tim Miles and this basketball team.
Good.
So we had the hardest stretch ever, right? It was supposed to be 0-4, damn near a given, right? We were, for a fact, good enough to be 3-1. Should have for sure been 2-2. That lack of a call at the end of the Kansas game is absolutely unconscionable, in my opinion. But, you know, this team doesn't really lose.
Nate, I'm
going to
stop you there for 2 seconds. When's the last time a college officiating crew got it right at the end of a game?
Well, touche.
I'm serious.
To argue your logic. No, you're right. It's really embarrassing, and I think that we should start turning our attention to getting the correct replay rules evaluation, call evaluation in place like we have in football.
I'm with you about contact. Sure. The foul's a foul, and it needs to be a foul at the beginning of a game,
absolutely,
just like it's a foul at the end of the game. And if it's going to be no blood, no foul, if it's going to
be
fine. That –
be
then
consistent.
It's going to be that way.
Right.
So
I'm totally with you. And Palmer got hacked.
He did, but in the post game, he doesn't expect that call. He's pissed that he missed the shot.
Well, that's because he's a man. He ain't a boy, but that don't change the truth. So realistically, right, looking at this, we get everybody back next year. What do you think is the ceiling for this team next year?
Well,
that doesn't have a four-game stretch against monsters.
See,
and then beyond that,
here's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see a four-game stretch against some monsters, because I saw that this year, and I don't think they're all monsters. I think Kansas is probably going to dip to a three seed this year. They're still good.
Sounds right.
I think Creighton's probably between 6 and 10 seed. They could
probably
be as good as 6. They could be 22-10 and be a 10 seed. I think Minnesota, I think the Big Ten's really down this year. I mean, you have Michigan State, you have Purdue, and then it should be Minnesota, but Minnesota was weak. They were
soft. I think it's Nebraska. I'm so serious. I think it's Nebraska.
That was a different Nebraska team than we'd seen, and good for them adjusting to Michigan State slapped them around and got them ready, and then they learned from it. So I think Minnesota's probably a 6-9 with Sparty being a 1 and Purdue being a 3 or a 4.
Let me get one last question out of you. I'd love to hear your response. What is the deal with Jordy over Doobie? Because here's the thing. Neither one is going to get you more than 4 to 6 points a game. Neither one is really a great passer. But Doobie is energy guy. He is effort guy. And he blocks, or at least attempts to block, more shots. I can't think of one thing that Jordy Schmonga does well. He's a great kid. I've met him several times. I let him babysit my children. But he can't. He's like Mike Riley. Hot damn, he's the nicest kid in the world, but he can't play basketball for beans. And here's Doobie, who sparks the whole team. I'll hang up and let you answer that,
Thank you.
I'm incredibly, incredibly freaked out by that.
No, that's and I think you're a little quick to get in line to pile on Jordy. Has he been playing well? Absolutely not. Is he pressing? Is his confidence messing with him? Is he losing minutes? Is he fouling every time he breathes on somebody? Yeah. He's in a world of trouble right now. He's trying to find his way out. Tim Miles today, his press conference, he's not changing the lineup. Now, you're not getting the production or the attempts. 5 shots the previous contest against Creighton. He took 2 shots, didn't he? No, he took... I need to look at my roster. Point is you don't have anything near double-digit shot attempts the last 2 games against Creighton or Kansas from Jordy, because he's fouling or he's missing. One of the 2 games, he took very few shots, probably because of foul trouble. Here's what you're going to do if you're Tim Miles when push comes to shove, and Purdue's a whole different matter with their size, and Sparty, so they're kind of 2 you don't mess with. You hope to beat them, but isn't good. You're just going to go with a small lineup, and you go 1-3-1, and you're going to team rebound, and you get your 5 best out there eventually, and they're going to be multiple scoring options that can 3, can drive, can finish, and that's what you're going to do eventually, I think, when push comes to shove, and it's time to finish 5th or 6th in the Big Ten this year, because it might be a 5 or 6 bid league. And then Jordy's going to, against some of the bigger teams, you'll go back to Jordy. And Jordy, I say this with a straight face, has better offensive ability than Doobie. Doobie's your transition, tip dunk, rebound, mobile, guy that can kind of guard and move better. Nebraska got worked a lot when Jordy's in there on pick and roll. So you need a guy like Doobie that's a better matchup option, and you need 2 options, because Jordy can go bang down low and eventually figure out how to stay out of foul trouble. This depends on your lineup. But Jordy just needs to get right, because he's shown the ability to score. Has he been dominant? No. But he's not been this bad, and it's him pressing. He hasn't forgotten how to play basketball. This team's good, and it's better with him. It's better with him scoring in the paint. Got to keep trying. It's not a well that's out of water. It's got to keep digging a little bit for it. And Nebraska's been great with him in there when they throw it in and he kicks it back out. It's when your 3s are open. That stretches it. Because you got the guys that can stretch a defense. This team is 2-2 or 3-1 in their last 4 if you get anything sniffing 7-10 from Jordy. And they didn't. And he knows it, and he's working on it. It's up to Miles how he wants to work it. We got in the basketball there. It's all right. 466-377-6466, 377-6800-825-5865. Good story up. We'll get further into the rabbit hole of recruiting. Who's in, who's wondering, who's out. That in a little bit. But a good story by Derek Peterson, Dr. Petey of Hail Varsity. When it comes to Adrian Martinez, will he be the guy right away? Adrian Martinez signing tomorrow, on the show later tomorrow. And how do you feel about that if you're a Nebraska fan? And this is the situation with the quarterback. You're the greatest coming in, and then they're waiting on the next one. They being the fan base. It's how it works. It is how it works. Saw a video from Tommy Frazier. Tommy was talking about, and I know he might not be everyone's favorite Tommy anymore because he wore Creighton blue the other night, but Tommy's still a legend. So what the man has to say has some weight. So you have Tommy Frazier talking, and Frazier's like, you take the good and the bad with the quarterback spot, and he pointed to when he got hurt, when he had the blood clot, when Brooke came in and was awesome, and he was forgotten about, not that he was like pushed completely to the back of your memory banks, but he's a guy that, yeah, I mean, the new next hot thing is what you latch on to. And I don't think I'm doing that for the sake of hype and excitement and hope if you're a Nebraska fan. I think I'm looking at Adrian Martinez and his fit and his skill set. That's it. Because what you're not going to have happen is you're not going to try and juggle what Riley did offensively with what Frost wants to do. You're not going to wait till you have your guys. You're going to go get your guys on an airplane a week ago Tuesday after being in Orlando, and you're going to give him a chance to win the job. That's only fair. And you're going to give Jebbia and O'Brien, if they choose to, a chance to win the job. Best guy's going to win the job. Can you make the throws and the decisions and the tempo? And can you run for a first down a few times, 8 to 10 times a game? That's what he's going to ask you to do. And he's going to make sure you don't turn the damn ball over. That's it. As good as Frost's defense has been at Central Florida and Chenander, and they were really good at getting turnovers and they're really good at smacking the quarterback, they were phenomenal at taking care of the football. Turnover margin. Back to Derek's story here. But you're encouraged. Mariota was incredible as a redshirt freshman. He redshirted. You had Jeremiah Masoli before that. That was a Rose Bowl team. You had Masoli to Mariota. And then what'd you have at Herbert? Herbert was the last quarterback Frost brought in. Pretty good. Jack collarbone and all. Scott Frost can do a lot of things. He can scout and he can develop quarterbacks. I mean, he's got a history of that. I'm going to jump into the end of the pool and say that's not on a ledge that's unsteady. And then you look at Milton. Milton was decent as a freshman, true. And then look how good he was this year. So you find your guy that you're fit, that you're comfortable with, that you know you can coach, that you hope stays healthy. Give him a shot to go win it. And meanwhile, you got a guy at Jebbia that the guy lives in the film room. O'Brien. I mean, he hasn't had the college career he wants yet. He's going to fight for the job. That's where you go. It's okay to go young. I mean, Alabama did it with Hurts, Jameis. Look at Johnny Football. Francois was young. I butcher the Arizona quarterback's not name, remembering his name. But he's been incredible. Something like Barnett would remind me. So Justin Herbert, Jacob Eason, freshman, this group that Derek Peterson researched when it comes to young guys and freshmen starting, was pretty impressive. When it comes to completion percentage, and can you live with the 14-9 touchdown to interception ratio? You'd prefer 14-5. You'd prefer 14-7. But can you get a run game around that young pup where he's not having to throw it a lot? Think about Taylor Martinez, his freshman year. Thursday, K-State, Heisman. I mean, the guy was insane and a spark offensively. So there you have it. Good story by Derek Peterson on maybe green lighting the rook to go. Recruiting show tomorrow. We'll talk recruiting with Mitch Sherman. He'll be with us here shortly. We'll get caught up with Rick Pizzo. Another recruit that might be out there for Scott Frost that would be amazing for this football program. Some NFL thoughts, and we'll get into who's staying, who's wondering, who's going for the signing class of 2018. 466-377-6800-825-5865. A text to get to here from B, 88474. You can text Hail to 88474. This is in response to the question that we got on Jordy. I don't care how Jordy plays, he's better than McVay or Jacobson, and he's better than both combined. So there's some input there. Mitch Sherman's on the way. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. Weird marriage of basketball and football recruiting there, but we made it through that opening segment. Welcome in with ESPN.com and magazine, Mitch Sherman with us at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Happy holidays, Mitch. How are you, man?
I am doing fantastic. Looking forward to the continuation of the holidays here this weekend and getting some good family time, extended family time. So couldn't be in a better mood right now.
I know you're smiling. I'll be in a better mood come Friday as it's recruiting season. It's always recruiting season, but it's early signing period. And wow, how do you think this is going to go over when Mr. Hindsight comes calling here after these next 72 hours and into February even? I read your story at ESPN.com. Great stuff from Coach Barnett and Nick Saban and Kirk Ferentz. And they're all not real wild about it. Just not only the uncertainty, but it's the inconvenience and then just more so the uncertainty. Do you think this will be a good example of the old test balloon, or do you think this will be rethought here in years to come?
I think it'll be reconsidered. I think that the conference commissioners will look to the Football Oversight Committee. That's the group chaired by Bob Bowlsby, the Big 12 commissioner. They will reevaluate December. Bowlsby is and has been for the last year on record saying that he doesn't feel like December is necessarily the sweet spot, that he wanted it earlier, and there were factions that were fighting, and really they came to a date that made everyone the least angry. As we sit here in December, and many coaches of, 80 programs, are tasked to recruit and prepare their team for a bowl game. It's, this is the growliest time that you're going to find these guys. I think if you go back and talk to them in January, or maybe you go talk to them in May about how the first year of the early signing period went, you're going to get some decidedly different answers than you get this month when seemingly everyone is a little bit miffed about it. That wasn't the song that they were singing a year ago when this legislation was proposed. In fact, all 10 FBS playing conferences supported this. So you hear a lot of voices, and I would say the majority of them right now are bent out of shape about the way it's gone. Some will be much happier tomorrow because they're going to have the majority of their class in the bag, and they're going to be able to go spend some time with their families over Christmas
and not have to worry about babysitting recruits. And that's, you know, no disrespect intended to these players who are signing letters of intent and have signed letters of intent for years past in February. But that's exactly what these coaches have done year in, year out in January. Whether you've got 10 commits or 15 or 20, they spend an inordinate amount of time just keeping these kids happy, making sure that the rival program isn't sneaking in with a phone call or a visit or something like that. All these guys who signed this week are no longer going to require that kind of attention. So that's a great thing for these coaches. They can focus their energy on their current players. A lot of guys will focus energy on recruiting for the 2019 class, get a jump on the juniors. Others will spend extra amount of time on the limited number of prospects that they're still targeting for that February signing period, the traditional signing period. They've got till February 7th. Figure out how to finish their class. So I think that coaches will be a lot happier about the early signing period a week from now than they are right now.
Mitch, put your czar of college football hat on. I'm sure it's blue with a KC on it. And what day or series of days would you pick? Because I think the thing that Nebraska fans are excited about is the ability to get juniors up here. You have that summer window to do so.
Yeah.
And you have the two options. You kind of try and clean up in December, and then you finish out in January like it's done in basketball. What about you? What say you with a date to get this thing right? Not that it's wrong now, but what would you decree?
Well, the early visits that you just hinted at or talked about are even a more divisive issue than early signing. And no matter what time of year you talk to just about any coach in the ACC or the SEC, you know, they consider early visits the first step toward the demise of all football. So in my opinion, and I think in the opinion of coaches at places like Nebraska, at places like Wisconsin, you cannot have early signing without early visits. Otherwise, you're going to have this mess that we have right now every year. These coaches are telling the truth when they talk about how crazy busy they are in December, because really they're trying to squeeze 2 months worth of work into 3 weeks. The early visits will relieve some of that, because you'll be able to select a number of your recruits and bring them in the months of April, May, and June. So next December should not be as wild as this December, because you'll have had early visits for that 2018-2019 signing class. That said, I don't know that I think December is the answer long term. I still think there's too much going on in the month of December, even with the early visits in the spring. I think that early visits open some things up, and maybe like an August signing period wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. You know, December's pretty close to February. And for the guys, the prospects out there, the recruits out there who really want that pressure off them, who really are going to go ahead and decide early, who are really different from the kids who wait until February, you know, maybe you make it 6 months before February as opposed to 6 weeks or 7 weeks. There are a percentage of players who are done with this thing and ready to be done with it before their senior seasons begin. So if they've got the opportunity to go ahead and make those visits in May, April, and June, you know, I'd say let them sign in August. You know, it's the start of practice. Work it around that. You don't have games to coach. You don't have bowls to coach. And then you can go till February, and maybe it's split 50-50 or 40-60 or something like that. I think with December, eventually, if it may be this year, maybe next year, the December signing period is going to just kind of take the place of February. And you're going to have upwards of maybe 80% of the kids signing in December. So why do you even have February at that point?
I like the junior visits that are allowed, but maybe August works. What about the Bo Pelini idea of not having a signing day? You're having an option to sign if you feel the need to sign on your official.
Yeah, I'll say this. When Bo Pelini told me that for the first time, it was when he was his coach at Nebraska, mm-hmm. and he told other people too. And yeah, you heard it on the radio. You heard him mention it to pretty much anybody who would listen. My first thought was, "You're nuts, man! I mean, that's just like chaos. It's the Wild West. Like, what are you talking about? Do you even understand like how this works?" And then, you know, as the months and years went on, and you kind of step back and look at it, it's not the worst idea. I've heard a lot worse ideas, and I might even be to the point now where I'm ready to think. You know, he was really looking into the future with this, that it was pretty progressive, his way of thinking. And while I don't think you're going to have that 2 years from now or 5 years from now, it may be the ultimate answer. That may be the thing that just calms all of this down. It's somewhat counterproductive, somewhat counterintuitive to think that, well, the way that you're going to calm this whole mess of recruiting down is just to let kids sign whenever. But then you don't have to worry about commitments. I mean, hey, you get offered a scholarship, you've got a certain amount of time to either accept it or it's off the table, whether that's 72 hours or 48 hours or a week or whatever it is. You know, maybe it's a month. I don't know. Maybe it's unlimited, but you just let the kids sign in June or July, and then you don't have a big show on signing day. It's just an announcement here, an announcement there. It's kind of like the way commitments work now, except the schools are handling it, and they're releasing their signees over the course of a year or 18-month period. I don't see a ton of really bad things that would lead to. I think there are fewer negatives with that than there are with any of these specific date proposals that have come and gone, and some have passed, you know, like the one we've got now in December. I think that, you know, as crazy as it sounds, it just might work.
I think you're right. I think that's the answer, but we'll see if they agree on it. Mitch, about 90 seconds here. A thought on what Nebraska's done recruiting with Martinez at quarterback and some of the kids that are likely to sign tomorrow.
Yeah, it hasn't been a throwaway period, and I think that's a testament to Scott Frost and his staff. I don't want to get too carried away,
right,
because I think there's a tendency to think whenever you have a staff in transition that these guys are, you know, they're doing an amazing job, and you're not even missing out on anything. You always miss out on something, and this is not going to go down as Scott Frost's best recruiting class at Nebraska. And if it does, then he's got problems with the future ones that he's signing. You know, this is going to be just a class to get you by. Now, maybe Adrian Martinez becomes a 4-year starter at your school, and he's the guy that the whole thing is built on as Nebraska moves forward and moves upward. So, if that's the case, then just him alone, and then you throw in the other complementary pieces, makes this thing a slam dunk. But, you know, I think it'll end up in the end, you know, barring something like that with Martinez, I think it'll end up in the end being above average for a transitional class. And part of that is because of the work that Mike Riley and his staff did to form a base for this group. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of it is going to also be the work that Frost and his staff have done in the last 3 weeks and are going to continue to do until February 7th. There's still a lot of work to be done. I mean, they're maybe half done or slightly over half done or slightly under half done. So the jury is very much still out. And, you know, we'll see how many fish are still out there in the sea after Friday. It might be a somewhat limited pool, which is going to hurt Nebraska, you know, even more than we think it might sitting here today.
Mitch Sherman with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Mitch Sherman on Twitter, ESPN.com, and magazine. Great stuff on recruiting. Mitch, we'll get caught up here in the new year. We are off next week. You have a great holiday, my friend, and thanks for your time today.
All right. Thanks a lot, Chris. Same to you.
Take care. Mitch Sherman with us on Hail Varsity. 20 minutes away, Big Ten Buffet with Rick Pizzo. We'll spend some more time on some recruiting. You're welcome to join us. Tap the line, Chilling Bridge Cork and Tap House, 466-377-6800, 825-5865.
Chime in, 402-466-ESPN, or email the show, Chris at HaleVarsity.com.
Just try me, try me.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back. Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. A word from our friends at AgriGold, 80 years. We've been doing things the AgriGold way over the decades. Together, we've built a brand truly different, different because of our knowledge, different because of our passion, different because we represent the voice of our customer, our true partners, providing customers with the very best seed. Always backed by a handshake and a promise of more diversity, less risk, and greater yield. For more information, visit agrigold.com today. Recruiting galore today, tomorrow with Hail Varsity, and throughout the week. You can log on hailvarsity.com. Don't forget, holiday season is nearing, and we are less than a week away from Christmas. Tis the season. We have the Holiday Hail Mary giveaway coming up Thursday. Your chance to qualify before 5 and before 6. So keep listening for Clark and the Hail Mary, Griswold that is. And we'll get you locked in and qualified for that giveaway. Don't forget to dial up 855-3-HUSKER or hailvarsity.com/subscribe and take care of the Nebraska fan in your life today. You can take care of yourself. Get that Frost subscription cover, 10 issues. You'll love it. Okay, let's get knee-deep into what in the hell's going to happen tomorrow. Now, it'll be cool tomorrow because we'll talk to these dudes or their coaches. But right now, you're freaking out. And I think what Mitch said needs to be highlighted and circled. That no matter what happens with the rest of the class, and it could be an above-average transitional class, you got your quarterback. Or you have a good option that you think can fit and work in your system quarterback. Maybe you got the next big-time college football quarterback. Maybe you got the next Taylor Martinez. Maybe you got the next Tommy Armstrong. I don't know. The good, the bad, and some ugly, and some beauty with some of that. But think about Nebraska football. We've gone on about the last time they won a championship. We've gone on about the last time they won a conference championship. We've gone on about the last time they have played for and won a big bowl game. Big bowl game being against a team ranked in the top 10 to 12. You can count on one hand that time, the times that's happened recently. And when are they playing? They're playing during bowl week, except for the Cotton Bowl, where Jay Moore tried to murder the Auburn quarterback. He did a couple of times. That was New Year's Day. That one counts. But it's been Outback, or Music City, or Foster Farms. And it starts with ending this cycle of transition. Because every fourth year in a new coach's tenure, if they make it to four, that's your transitional class. That's the recruiting class that you walk in when someone's walking out. You got to go get your guys. You got to keep the old guys. And you got to figure out who's on your team. And that's bitten Nebraska a lot. Every time you make a coaching change, sets your program back 5 years is the adage. And think about when you fired Solich and in came Bill Callahan 2004. A lot of JUCOs. The class wasn't awful, but it wasn't great. How many contributors did you have? How many stars did you have? Few. Think about the transition from Billy C to Bo. How'd that 08 class turn out? The seniors would have been 2012. Well, they went to a Big Ten championship game. So Bo walked into a pretty good situation with talent in the cupboard, and they held some things together on the way out. And then you go from that 2013 season where you didn't know if he was going to get whacked or not. And that's this. You can kind of count 13 as well as 14 as a transitional recruiting class. Because you lost a lot of dudes that were scared off. And then what are you going to have if you're Scott Frost with 2018? And you can sign 18, 16-18 and oversigned by 3, do you empty your clip in 2018? Do you really love that many kids, or do you hold a few back and just sign the minimum so you can go crazy in 19? All things to think about. The other thing to think about profoundly is Nebraska football not having a transitional recruiting class from 1973 to 1997. It's had the same head coach. Only 5 assistants left. Machine. And then even your transitional recruiting class in 97, add 4 to that. It's 2001. You're playing for a national championship. I mean, the class that T.O. left had Newcomb and Crouch and a lot of other dudes. So, just some food for thought right there. Who's staying? Who's going? Who's wondering? Who's feeling it? Man, you're going to have to hold off Tennessee. Let's start there. You may have won the war with Tennessee, but you could lose a couple of battles. And it's in the form of Arizona Western Junior College running back Greg Bell and the wideout that committed that may not stay with that commitment. I don't know if this is going to be a great haul for Frost, if they're going to lose some guys, if they're going to keep some guys, if they're going to flip some guys. And I'm talking about Woodyard. He's a 6'5 wideout that's super fast. And then you have Greg Bell, and he's a running back that fits the style of what Frost wants to do. I liked watching Bell's film, says the guy who no one ever put on film, which is fine. What you do have that you feel good about here and now moving forward, period, with 2018, is that you've got your quarterback that has a chance to be a 4-year guy. And then you got your safety, Deontay Williams. We talked a little bit about Deontay Williams, the JUCO player. Deontay can play all 3 spots. We talked to Coach McBride about that. Can play him at corner, can play him at nickel, can play him at safety. But you've got a guy that tackles, that can get to the football, that has 3 years. Kind of plug in wherever you want. Moving forward, maybe you get a pass rusher you like. Maybe you get some run stuffers. Maybe you get an offensive lineman that's really good. Maybe you get some wide out tight ends, some skilled dudes. When push comes to shove, you're going to remember 2018 if it works out the way you want it to work out. But you got a pretty versatile guy in Deontay Williams, and you got Adrian Martinez. Everything else you hope is feast, could be famine, likely some gray area in between. We'll wind down hour one. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great day. Wow. It's like I stuck my head out the window and inhaled. That wasn't good. Back with you, winding down hour one, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. Colton, are you locked in for signing day, brother?
Like I was just telling you, I'm excited to see like who ends up here, but I think the hype is always just so much because you don't know who's going to, you know, flip their decision the day of, or decide to take the extra 6 weeks, or decommit the month before and reopen their options, coaching changes, all that. It's all just, you never know.
Think about when a quarterback is hurried in the pocket.
Yeah.
What happens to the throw?
It's not good.
No, not usually.
Yeah.
Their feet move and the accuracy is whacked. Well, that's a downside of this early signing period if you talk to some coaches. Give you the other side of the quarter here. That other side is you're evaluating 9th and 10th graders to get them to say yes, so you can get them on your dime, assuming they can't just drive to your campus multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
So they're you're fast forwarding your window of evaluation. Your judgment, I don't know, I don't want to say as rushed as a coach or a recruiting coordinator, but everyone else is in the same boat with you, and you're all trying to lock it in to move on to the next. And it is the lifeblood. It's what regenerates, and what's the difference between rebuilding and reloading.
Well, and it's also like stretching yourself so thin to go see as many recruits as possible, but you only are going to get...
You have 70 offers out now.
And you're only going to get 15 of them?
Right.
Maybe.
It better be the right 15.
Right.
Of the 15, you got 7.5 that work for you. Of those 7.5, how many play multiple years? How many turn into Grant Wistrom? It's a big ask.
Yeah.
You have three types of kids with this early signing period. Kids that want to get it over with, kids that want more attention, or kids straddling the fence because they don't know. I hope that there's a little bit of, or a lot, of compassion and understanding given if someone's like, you know, I'm not ready to sign. It's not that I don't love you anymore. It's just that this has all happened so fast. Period. So, I hope cooler. I'm asking a lot. I'm hoping cooler heads prevail with this whole thing, eventually. So we'll get you qualified right now. 466-377-6800 825-5865. The Holiday Hail Mary.
Tis the season to be merry.
All right, penalty, the last play of the game. And a memorable season opener for both teams.
It's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
Three-man rush.
Hallelujah!
All kinds of time.
Get Nippy out.
I mean Nippy out.
Steps into the throw, in the wind, down to the goal line!
And we're going
to
have the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap dance with Danny Kaye.
And caught!
Caller 5 right now qualifies for the Holiday Hail Mary with ESPN FM 101.5 and 1480 AM. Caller 5, 800-825-5865, 466-3776, Big Ten Buffet. Coming up, we'll talk some recruiting, some Jerry Kill, some Husker Hoops with Mr. Rick Pizzo. Big Ten Buffet, some thoughts on Jack Stark. Coach McBride mentioned him yesterday. Hour 2 of Hail Varsity when we return.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. A season's greetings, Big Ten Buffet, with Mr. Rick Pizzo and BTN Rick Pizzo. Rick, how are you?
Life is good. Santa is almost fully stocked. The sack is getting fairly full. I think he has the GPS set to the correct address, so I think everybody in the Pizzo household we'll be happy in a week's time or so. At this point, man, and you know it, with early signing day on Wednesday, with non-conference basketball still going on, we're trying to figure out what's happening with all these assistant coaches that are potentially moving. We have retirement today. You have all this stuff to keep up with, and then you're still thinking about the holiday. It's basic madness.
It is madness, and I want to start with recruiting because it's a mad, mad recruiting world. What's your take, man? Are you leaning one way or the other on this early signing day? We'll know what to expect next year after tomorrow. That said, are you in faith? And you were a college athlete, too, so what's your read on this?
Well, I think it's basically playing out the way that we expected it to. It's very good for schools that are in spots where it is tough to get to as a junior. It's very good for schools which are in a conference where other schools have dominated recruiting-wise. So if you're Nebraska, I think it works to your benefit. Maybe not as much this year because Scott Frost obviously had such a short time and didn't have a full cycle. If you are Purdue, if you're in Indiana, in Illinois, I think it helps you if you're an Ohio State, an Alabama, a Michigan, a USC, a Notre Dame, a Florida State, you'd probably prefer for it to be the other way. I think the more interesting storyline that no one is talking about is the assistant coach switch, and I think what is going to be a glacial shift in assistant coaches as soon as this early signing period is over, because you are going to see all these coaches that recruited players or did not recruit players to certain spots, and players will or will not sign on this early signing, this three-day period. So then what happens with some of those assistant coaches who are being recruited to go to other places because of the players that they can get prior to, or the players that will still be available that they can get after early signing period and before the signing period closes? It's fascinating. There's an article on Twitter that I read somewhere about where at least one fairly well-sourced individual thought hundreds of assistant coaches could be changing jobs over the next month to 2 months. It's interesting how that's kind of put on the back burner, but could be a really interesting side story to getting these top athletes to the schools you want them to get to.
Well, and if you're the kids and you're going for an assistant and not the head coach or the university, you sign early and then somebody walks away after January and you're, for lack of a better term, stuck there, it'd be nice to let the kids get out of their letter if what they believe to be true isn't true. And there's going to be a ton of shuffling. And Nebraska, their 10th assistant will be Barrett Rood. I mean, all-time leading tackler at Nebraska, nine-year NFL vet. Yeah, I mean, just a fantastic get for Nebraska to have him doing his coaching thing. And, Rick, when you look at Nebraska in this recruiting cycle, things kind of fell apart with Coach Riley and some of his kids that were in the boat with him. Frost has come in and done a miraculous job. I mean, the composite number looks to be 40s or around there, maybe, or maybe it hits 35. Maybe it hits 30 if Nebraska lands who they want between tomorrow and February. What's a number that's good for you? And I think Frost's approach with this, maybe he gets guys with great stars next to their name, but he's going to go hit blueprint and fit first and foremost.
And I think that's most important because of what he is trying to do. He's trying to bring in an entirely new system. I think your basement has to be 50. You have to be better than 50.
Okay.
And I think they'll get there. I just think that is absolutely where you have to be able to say, we did what we needed to do. Now, anything in the low 40s, if you start sniffing the 30s with that period of time and all the shifting, and listen, it brings a lot of excitement, but anytime there is coaching change, you are going to lose some guys that the other regime wanted and that you probably wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a fact of life. But if you're in low 40s, if you're in high 30s, then you have something to build on. Now, you know me, Chris. We have spoken enough. You know my philosophy on this enough that I am not a big believer in the whole star process. Yes, there are players who live up to it. That being said, I understand the importance of it because you have to be among those top schools to be talked about. And the more that you're talked about, the more that the players coming down the pipeline are interested in you. And it's the chicken or the egg, which comes first, it doesn't really matter. But at the end of the day, no publicity is bad publicity. So you continue to move up that ladder, you're going to get better and better players. That's why the rich get richer. And that's why I think you have to have a solid inside the top 50. Anything inside 40 is a huge bonus for Scott Frost and company.
Tell me your thoughts here on Wisconsin and Northwestern. Both those schools have had good numbers when it comes to final records within the West, as has Iowa. And they kind of go blueprint. They're not immune to getting a big four or five star guy. But for the most part, they get fit or they do an amazing job of evaluation and then development.
Well, I think there's the difference sometimes between getting the best guy and getting the right guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Wisconsin has continued to go out and get the right guy. They recruit a different way. They look at offensive linemen as being maybe the most important recruits that they can sign. And I know everybody talks about offensive line, but when you look at who player coaches are recruiting and the players that people are talking about, very rarely are they the big guys, unless they're a dominant defensive lineman. You're talking about wide receivers, you're talking about linebackers, you're talking about quarterbacks and running backs, playmakers, athletes, if you will. but Wisconsin recruits in a different way. To your point, they have gotten some very good athletes over the last couple of years. I mean, Melvin Gordon is not an NFL star for no reason. There are not defensive players from that Wisconsin team of the last 4 or 5 years that have become stalwarts in the NFL for no reason. I mean, obviously, J.J. Watt turned out to be one of the best players when healthy of his generation on the defensive side of the ball. But that's the exception rather than the rule. They go to recruit the right guy rather than the best guy. I think that is often an overlooked aspect of recruiting, unless you are Ohio State, Alabama, Notre Dame, Florida State. You can get whoever you want, whenever you want. You have to look for the right guy as often as you look for the best guy.
Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet, Hail Varsity Radio at BTN. Rick Pizzo on Twitter. So signing day is going to be nuts. Big Ten Network's going to have a couple of sessions, aren't you? Seven hours, my friend.
Seven consecutive hours. 9 to 4 Eastern, 8 to 3 Central. Mike Hall, Howard Griffith, Jerry DiNardo, Alan True does a terrific job. Midwest Regional Scouting Director, as good as it gets. So those guys will go through every class, talk to all the head coaches that have agreed to an interview tomorrow to get all the insight into their classes. Yeah, it is absolute massive undertaking for these guys.
Would you, if Rick Pizzo could put on the Czar of College Football hat for a minute, just do so? Here's what I'd do. I would keep the junior official visit on the school's dime available. But would you keep two, or would you just have it February, or would you have the old Bo Pelini method where, all right, you want to sign, you want to commit, sign on the dotted line, you have a window to do that. You don't have a signing day. You can just sign the kid if he wants to commit.
No, I like the hybrid. I like your thought of allowing that official junior year visit on the school's dime, because I don't think that really hurts anything. But I like one signing day. And the reason why is that I just don't believe that it's good for high school athletes to get this much love and attention before they've played a minute of college sports, which is still, by the way, amateur athletics. I understand it is a business. It pays my paycheck, okay? So I'm not trying to be hypocritical here. I understand it's a business, but there also comes a point where you need to draw a line, where you need to say enough is enough for me. And for me, and I say this with all due respect to the importance and understanding of what the recruiting analysts do, what we do here on BTN, I personally think it's too much. I don't believe that grown adults should be tweeting and texting and getting so emotionally involved in the future of a young man who they may have seen once or twice on YouTube, but they believe can be the savior of their college football team and their life. Number one, it's not life. Life is bigger than that. And number two, we need to let these young men actually grow into men. So one to me is plenty. Make sure they know where their decision is. Make sure they can go there, that they can see it, that they can afford to do it. Let the school pay for it. Give them an ample amount of time, and then let them sign. If they want a little bit of love and attention for all the work that they put in, that's fine. But let's wait to canonize them until they've actually done something valuable on the college football field.
Rick Pizzo with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Rick, let's get off recruiting. And a guy that was super blue collar, rolled his sleeves up, loved his offenses and defenses at Minnesota, has had health problems, and I thought he was just a big asset to Rutgers. Jerry Kill retiring. How do you remember Jerry?
Exactly the way that you described him. I mean, he was just a Kansan through and through, just a guy who believed in nothing but hard work and did nothing but basically coach football. And I think when he retired from Minnesota the first time, that was the really emotional aspect of that press conference. He was basically asking the crowd, like, what am I supposed to do next? This is all I know. I know my family, I know God, and I know football. And that's basically what he said, and that's what he believed in. That's why he got back into football. He wanted to give it a try. I respect the fact that he wanted to give it a shot, and I respect this a ton as well, Chris. He did not take part in any recruiting efforts for Rutgers in the offseason. He knew, and Chris Ash knew, that this was likely coming, and so they did not want to deceive any recruits. Chris Ash was open with recruits about the fact that there was likely going to be a change, and I have a ton of respect for them in doing that. That being said, and this is unbelievable, Rutgers will now search for its ninth offensive coordinator in the past 9 seasons.
And you know what? His offense was super physical, but it also had the spread element. It wasn't Urban and Ohio State, but it was when Minnesota was rolling, the way they developed guys, his record against Nebraska, I was wowed. I was absolutely wowed, and I know he rocked it at Northern Illinois prior to that, but man, it just feels sorry and sad for him and his health. But man, I was happy to watch whatever team he brought to Lincoln or was on BTN.
Yeah, just a really quality individual and just a heck of a football coach. And it is a shame that he won't be able to coach for as long as he wanted to coach. But he shaped the lives of a lot of young men, and he can certainly be proud of that retirement.
Let's talk basketball here for a second. And you saw the highlights. You were locked into Nebraska-Kansas Saturday night.
Man.
Incredible game. I had a chance to go with a couple buddies. And, man, it came down to the wire. Nebraska didn't do quite enough but made another impression. Where do you see Nebraska growing from this Kansas game, or are you sure they can grow from it? Meaning that, okay, you went toe-to-toe with them. Does it happen again as you head into Big Ten play, not closing the door on somebody?
Yeah, and that's not easy to do, because when you play that well against a team that is clearly the more talented team and you come up short, sometimes that can leave a mark. Sometimes that loss can turn into two or three losses. I just look back at that four-game stretch that they played, Chris, and Michigan State was the only game that they were never really in. You beat Minnesota, you lose to Creighton in a game that I really thought Nebraska could have won.
Yep.
They just didn't play well over the final 8 to 12 minutes. Otherwise, you could come out of that stretch with two, maybe three wins. I mean, that would have been the greatest stretch in the history of Nebraska basketball if you had won three of those games. You could make that argument if you had won two and lost in heartbreaking fashion in one other. I'm just not sure that this team understands the chemistry aspect. Glenn Watson's been really good on occasion. Palmer has been really good on occasion. Copeland has been really good on occasion. When are they going to get all these pieces to play together well offensively, but also do what Tim Miles wants them to do defensively? And folks say, well, that may be asking way too much, but that's what you have to do if you want to win in this league. You have to have secondary and tertiary scorers, and you have to play defense for 40 minutes. You look at a team like Purdue, and everybody points to their three-point shooting, and the big guy, Isaac Haas, they did not shoot it well in the win against Butler. They shot it terribly in the win against Louisville. They shot it okay in the win against Arizona. We're talking about three quality teams, two top 25 teams, but they won because they could also lock down on the defensive end. And when Nebraska's teams have had success, when they've been the best, they've been those teams that really frustrate the more talented teams on the offensive end. They need to do that consistently. If they can do that consistently, then you don't need a third score every night. You need a second score every night. It's simply putting all the pieces together, and that's the problem inherent when you have to fill your roster with transfers and new guys, because that chemistry that you see in other programs that have players for 3 and 4 years, the Butlers, the Xaviers, the Gonzagas, Tim Miles never has that benefit.
Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet, Hail Varsity Radio at BTN, Rick Pizzo. Rick, we are off for the holiday bowl season next week. You and your family have a very Merry Christmas, and we'll get caught up in the new year. How's that sound?
I will miss you for sure, but I will drown all of those sorrows in a large mug of eggnog plus insert beverage here.
I know you will, man. You be good, and thanks so much.
Merry Christmas, my friend.
You know, bourbon and eggnog, I'm not going to judge. How much of what are you using? That's the question.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Buddy Boy, thoughts for signing day tomorrow? And who's in the boat, who's still swimming around the boat, who's going to get hauled in, who's going to say, give me a little bit of time. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, and you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Good stuff from Rick Pizzo. can dial us up, 466-3776, 3776-800, 825-5865. Tap the line with Shillingbridge Cork and Tap House. And this holiday season, a quick reminder not to forget your friends at Sauter Heyman. Rick and the gang make everything sparkly and nice and bright and pretty, and she'll love it. 0% interest financing with Sauter Heyman through 2020, and a great selection of Earthmind or pure-grown diamonds. And you can get a carat for $99 down, $99 a month. See Santa Rick this holiday season, and don't delay. 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion, or out west in Grand Island. Can log on, SauterHeyman.com. And maybe you're not down with a carat. I know she's cool with it, but you're like, eh, Rick will still take care of you. But there's other options. Necklaces, earrings. It's a great selection of jewelry. How about an Oris watch for you, right? That'd make me smile. Okay, so hinted earlier about another recruit Scott Frost could get for 2018. And I asked about Jack Stark yesterday to Coach McBride, and you know Coach Charlie, Mondays with Charlie. He knows Jack Stark, and Jack Stark's the sports psychologist that helped put together the Unity Council. And if you go talk to guys who won championships and how they played for one another and how the unity was extremely strong, they point to the Unity Council. And if memory serves, and we'll talk to the Pride of Fairbury about it later on this week, but if memory serves, that thing started at 91. You know what happened, 93, 94, 95. And it came down to understanding the guy behind you and who lined up to the left and right of you. Your position group, your teammates, just the way you communicate, associate, and have a common goal. So Dom Chattel got caught up with Jack Stark, and it's in the reference to a call to unity. And that's what you're feeling here the last 3-4 weeks is unity. On the same page, rowing the same direction. Sorry, Mr. Fleck. And you're a Nebraska fan that doesn't disagree with your neighbor, the Nebraska fan. That's not always been the case in the state the last few years. So Stark, with sports psychology, he's worked with Creighton basketball. He's been with NASCAR. And he said he's 70 now. And I'm not as good as I used to be, but one more time I am, quoting him. It's a big key to the Big Red Dynasty. And this isn't Jack patting himself on the back. This is a reality. And you go talk to Coach Osborne. You go talk to Coach McBride. You go talk to Coach Darlington. You go talk to Coach Pierce. You go talk to those down there. It was important. And Frank Solich was let go. Jack says, I'm out. And he wasn't interested with Bill Callahan, Steve Peterson. So is the next move when it comes back to bringing Nebraska to that 90s mentality? Not fan mentality about the 90s, but 90s mentality where you're going to practice, you're going to lift weights, you're going to be more physical, you're going to go down the line of things that worked and were successful. And Wisconsin's doing them, and Alabama's doing them, and Scott Frost is going to get Nebraska back to doing them with developing guys and doing a walk-on program. Is the next part of that ingredient here, the Unity Council, return to the Unity Council, and is it getting Jack Stark back in the fold? He's at Wyoming with Coach Bull, who was here during the 90s. We'll see. Talked to Coach McBride about it a little bit yesterday. And his thoughts on, you know, what Jack Stark brought to Nebraska and the importance of it, that Unity Council.
We were fortunate when we were there. Jack Stark, who was a psychologist from who has been with our program. He's been with NASCAR. He's been with 1,000 different people. In fact, I think he's at Wyoming with Greg Bull right now. I mean, working with their kids. I think you have to have somebody that the players can go to that they don't want anybody to know except advice from a person. And if you're a psychologist or something, that's usually the best way to handle, I think, things like that.
Yeah, you got to have that one go-to, the untouchable that's part of your program that you can go speak with, that it's not getting back to mom, it's not getting to your roommate, it's not getting to your head coach, it's not getting to your position coach, it's not getting to your strength and conditioning guy. And hell, it may not need to go to your girlfriend or your girlfriend's mother. Think about problems you may have had or gotten yourself into, or needed help out of. 18 to 22. Colton right now wants to go talk to a sports psychologist. Why the hell did I sign up with Schmidt? I'm only half kidding, I hope. But that's important. You have complete confidentiality. And with confidentiality, you get trust. And if you trust the people that are around the program, that are working for the program, it's going to put you in a better frame of mind. It's going to put you in a better spot. It's going to put you in a better situation to go sell out for these guys. Again, one hand helping the other in the name of the call to unity. More from Coach McBride on what that element brought to Nebraska and what Scott Frost may bring back to Nebraska.
If you look now, you'll have somebody in that manner that, you know, went through our program, finds out, you know, what the heck we did and all these different things. And that's one thing. You've got a sounding board, you know, and one that will not go to the coaches, will not go to the coaches and say, this is, I already talked to so-and-so last night, you got to da-da-da. Mm-hmm. You know, no, that's an out. When they know they can talk to you, things like that, and it isn't going anywhere but between the two of you, then I think that really is a plus for the program.
You know, ways Nebraska was different and better and cutting edge, well, strength and conditioning, practice style, player development, recruiting, sports psychology. You ever been to the free throw line? Some of us, it's just pick up or intramurals, brother. But you can kind of shut your eyes and do the visualization thing. It's going in. Or if you go up there and it's that nervous little lump in your throat, there's no way in hell this free throw is going in. Say you're playing for a lot of Skittles on the golf course. And you can step right up. What's your mind like? Same way in football. And some of these dudes may have so much untapped athleticism. Great. How are they transitioning away from home? Great. They may run a 4.240. One of the receivers Nebraska's going after is a 4.3 guy. Good luck covering that. How's he handling 12 hours of college? Two papers and a quiz. Got a hit. How's he handling study hall? How's he learning how to study? It's all these things that go into whether or not the dude's going to go ball for you. Last thought here from Coach McBride on Jack Stark sports psychology. Good stuff from Tom Chattel today on it. But just how it enhanced, and that's something that Scott may want to do with the program. Unity Council / Jack Stark back in action. But there's a lot of things still going on for Scott right now in the here and now.
And so I don't know what Scott's got in mind. He's been here with it. It's something, you know, right now he's got so many things in his front of him. I mean, you know, his roller skates are going to wear out. But it's fun to, you know, it's fun to think about. You know, he's probably got a million things he wants to do that at this point he can't do. Can't talk to the players he's recruiting about yet because things aren't set.
So, There's a pecking order. That's one thing you can be excited about with signing day tomorrow. Nebraska's organization and execution. Are they going to bring in a top four class? No. Are they going to bring a top 14 class in? Uh-uh. But do they know what works? Do they know what they want? Yeah. And don't kid yourself. They've probably been evaluating quite a while with the current roster. We'll run down an up-to-date list on who is signing tomorrow, what time that'll happen, and who's still out and about trying to decide. Colton, okay. What happens here, and you tried on for the walk-on program, so you know how important it is, something you want to do. You grew up wanting to play for Nebraska. Mm-hmm. How would you take it as a college kid that wants to play ball if a coach came to a peer of yours at Millard North and the kid says, I need five more days? Because that's going to happen tomorrow. How you react to that may help you win a kid back. And at this point in time, like Mitch was talking about, as fried as these coaches are, it could cause some flips. How they react to it? Do they stay calm when they don't get the answer they want?
Well, I think a big issue is that staying calm. If a kid needs extra time, if you kind of, you know, freak out, flip out on him.
And by the way, have a contingency if you're a coach, which you do, you should.
Right, and you don't want to, like, scare the kid off either. Like, well, if you don't sign now, you can't sign. Because you still want him to play for you.
Right, you do. You should be able to do that if you know the kid's jacking you around.
Right.
I mean, if the SEC West is after him, in past years, of course,
well, he's trying to
get a higher bid.
Yeah, if you have it set that you think he's going to leave for an Ohio State, an Alabama, Florida, then maybe you kind of just push him to the wayside. But if you think you have a legitimate chance, I think you keep at it.
That's the balance, man. There's some kids out there. Interesting story about Micah Parsons and Ohio State. We'll get to that. More recruiting. The eve of signing day with Hail Varsity.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Strange story today on Micah Parsons. The Lantern, the student newspaper at Ohio State, the Ohio State. Okay, there's some stories coming out. Nothing awful, but it's worth repeating. Okay, Ohio State can no longer recruit Micah Parsons after an NCAA violation on his official visit. That's, for the record, the students at the Lantern found this out. Micah Parsons was catching passes, was doing things. You know how big time he's been. Ohio State, Penn State, Nebraska maybe had a crack at him. Now it's Oklahoma, and now it's Penn State. Ohio State, five-star defensive end Parsons, was a favorite. He's the type of dude that goes to Ohio State and is the next Malik Hooker as an outside linebacker instead of a safety. Ohio State had to self-report in 2018. Why September 9th? The night Baker planted the flag? Well, you had game day there. And Ohio State self-reported the violation September 26th. The violation, which the Lantern obtained, was this. Parsons is unnamed in the self-reported violation, believed to be the recruit implicated and reported as he was photographed on college game day. And he sent and he retweeted pictures with former Ohio State quarterback. He got a pass to go check out the behind-the-scenes look at game day. He also got a picture with Herbie, Xavier Venom. Got a picture with Lee Corso, with Reese Davis, and with celebrity guest picker Eddie George. Not supposed to rub elbows or get special treatment. That's what this is deemed. Not the pictures, not the selfies, but the media pass. So that's it. Urban probably still has his flogging dungeon somewhere. And the on-campus guy in charge of this got suspended for a game. There's more to what was sent out earlier this morning. Micah Parsons' papa believes his son's tweet, not the NCAA violations, the reason Ohio State ended their recruitment. So Terrence Parsons says there's more to the story. It was a tweet at 11:38 during the Oklahoma game that suggested Dwayne Haskins be put in at quarterback. Maybe you remember that. It's time to go to the bullpen because JT Barrett didn't do it. Now, Ohio State also had a lineman tweet out, a lineman they kept recruiting, didn't back off of, say the same thing. But Dad seems to be convinced that the tweet pissed off Urban, questioning his judgment of coaching. And to be honest, if you're on an official visit and the quarterback's not playing great and it's OU and Oklahoma State or Ohio State, forgive me there, and you're in the Lions' den, even though he might have been right, you just don't put a potential teammate on blast. It's kind of say nothing. It's my thought, and it may have cost him. Was he really going to leave Penn State? And who turned Ohio State in? It's self-reported. But when there's self-reporting that goes on, there's probably a nudge to have self-reporting occur. It's my guess. I said, hey, we're off the record here. We had a call from Happy Valley that some dude had his picture taken with Eddie George and was on the set of Game Day. Care to respond? Here's our number. Dial us back with a self-report. Say hi to Micah. There's so much in the SEC for years turning each other in. The old Southwest Conference turning each other in. Not that you were paying a kid, but that you got outbid for a kid. Now Ohio State's going to lose out on a guy that they never, ever lose out on. Nebraska, here's what's in for tomorrow. 12 set to ink the deal. Adrian Martinez with its tomorrow. Cam Jurgens with its tomorrow. Tate Wildeman, I'll say with its tomorrow. I'm going to jinx it, but I'm going to say with its tomorrow. We're efforting. Three-star outside linebacker David Alston, maybe. Will Farniak, maybe. Justin McGriff, maybe. Deontay Williams, hopefully. And then kicker Barrett Pickering. Those are your 12. Who's not in, who's announcing tomorrow at 12:15, Cameron Brown. Speaking of Ohio State, he'll end up there. Who else is deciding? Arizona Western, Jerron Woodyard. We're working on the Arizona Western Community College head coach for tomorrow. If Jerron says yes to Nebraska. Also, at running back, Greg Bell. How about that? Greg Bell's nice. He'll make his announcement at 11:45. Tomorrow, our time here in Lincoln. Will Hannes, don't know when that's going to happen. I'll have good news for you if it does happen on the Will Hannes front. And if I'm Will Hannes and Wisconsin's come in late, even though I can't go see him, because here's what I think with Will. Will's a throwback. Will's really good. Will goes in that instant impact category like we were talking about earlier. Of the 18 you can take, 16 to 18 you can take, there's three right there that two of the three, don't know if your quarterback will win the job or not, but they can be instant impact guys. I think Hannes probably, he's a Kansas kid, and I would say K-State's probably got the lean, but I think Nebraska has done a great job of trying to change that mind. If you're a Kansas kid and you like K-State and you're going to JUCO in Kansas, you're all about you some Bill Snyder. Well, Grandpa just announced he's coming back for another year, and he's battled health issues and got to respect the heck out of Bill Snyder. But there's no way he sees two more years as a head coach. I don't believe. So you're Nebraska, you jump in there. But really, Iowa and Wisconsin, they're the no-brainers. If you want to go play linebacker, no-brainer. And it's because of what they've got on film and what they have as coaches. Now, Barrett Roode's going to coach the heck out of you and do a great job of it. I believe that. But they're just getting here. So that'll be a tough one for Nebraska. So Bell, Tennessee, Boise, Nebraska at IBAC, Honus, Iowa, Wisconsin, Kansas State, Jones, Maryland, Iowa State, Pitt. Jordan Allen would be a nice Christmas gift. Michigan, TCU, Arizona State, Colorado, Tennessee, Michigan State. I don't know. Louisville's in there, too. I think Nebraska will get LeGrone. That'll be nice. Messiah Swinson, I think that's good. We'll see. Talk to you tomorrow. Signing day special with Hail Varsity.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Okay, I thought we were out last segment. My stomach's growling, man. Shameless Lazari's plug, but I'm meeting Mama there. I'm going to try the crab rangoon. She won't eat, split a whole one with me, so I'll probably have like 17 slices. So, yeah, that's what's going on. Colton, what do you got going tonight?
I'll be at the Journal Star.
Sound excited, damn it.
Well, I mean, it's college, or not college.
I'm going
basketball.
To work.
Sorry, it's going to high work. School basketball, but Lane Train's on tonight.
Yeah, a 10-year deal. What's that number next to the 10 years?
I have not seen that. Neither I haven't have I. looked into it.
It's a new pair of shades. Like, MJ, you got a new pair of Jordans. Lane will get a new pair of shades for every game.
How many of those 10 years do you think he's going to be there?
Well, if he got his 10 years, I would say the buyout escalates per year.
Yeah.
He may just chill in Boca. Who doesn't want to live in Boca making $1 million? Plus?
I mean, for 10 years and then maybe go take something better if he wants to?
You got to decide right now as an AD if he's ever hireable. He's supposedly have matured now under Saban, who would break him. How about the Pirate? Leach got a bump. $4 million a year for the Pirate.
It's a good.
Good for him.
He likes being, we've said it before, he likes kind of being out on his own, doing his own
thing.
Yeah, so I
think.
That's a good spot
if the Grinch leaves for Christmas in Columbus, that'll piss him off. His defensive coordinator's phenomenal. He made a great hire. Getting Grinch as like a linebackers coach from Missouri. I think he was a linebackers coach. But promoting him to coordinator, and that's been the difference this year for Washington State, and he'd tell you that. Because Falk's been okay. I mean, Falk's been good. But in some of the bigger games and in their losses, I mean, the turnover to touchdown ratio is nuts. I mean, the defense has been what's helped them beat Stanford and beat Boise and some of the recruiting with Grinch and Pirates getting paid. I love that. We'll bother him here shortly for, alone.
Yeah.
Let's get qualified here. Holiday Hail Mary. That giveaway is Thursday on Hail Varsity. Colton will be drawing one lucky winner for a laptop from Schrock, a automatic car starter from Auto Sounds, and a $100 gift card from your friends at Jet Splash. So, here is that Holiday Hail Mary with Clark.
'Tis the season to be merry.
All right, penalty, the last play of the game. And a memorable season opener for both teams.
It's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
Three-man rush.
Hallelujah!
All kinds of time.
Get Nipply out.
I mean Nippy out.
Steps into the throw, in the wind, down to the goal line!
We're going to have the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap dance with Danny and Kay. And
cut! Caller 5 right now qualifies for the Holiday Hail Mary with ESPN FM 101.5 and 1480 AM. Now I can say goodbye. Tomorrow, signing day special blowout with Hail Varsity. Some of the prospects that have signed, some of the coaches they played for, and lots of Hail Varsity insight with Jacob Padilla and, of course, Mr. Greg Smith, Colton Stone, Chris Schmidt. Back with you tomorrow at 4 for signing day 2018.